Please take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. It's on page 843 in the Pew Bible. Mark 8, verses 1 through 10. Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. Let us give our full attention now to the inspired and inerrant Word of God. In those days when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these should also be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. May God bless the reading of his holy word. And now please take your blue Psalter hymnal again, and we'll turn to page 62 in the back of the blue Psalter hymnal. This evening we'll confess God's Word as it is summarized in Lord's Day 50 of the Heidelberg Catechism. I will read the question and together we'll respond with the answer. Congregation, what does the 4th request mean? "Give us this day our daily bread" means, "Do take care of all our physical needs, so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone." O beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, this evening we continue our study of the Lord's Prayer. And so far in this prayer, we have focused upon God, on His name, His kingdom, and His will. Today we enter the second half of the prayer, which deals with the confession of our needs. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We now begin with the first of those petitions. Give us this day our daily bread. But as we turn our attention to this request for God to provide for our physical needs, we need to understand something. We need to understand that this is not where the Lord's Prayer becomes selfish. In past weeks, we have expressed a concern to see the Lord's name hallowed, His kingdom come, and His will be done. Clearly there, our focus is set upon God and His glory and His desires. And this is right, for as we read earlier this evening, we are called to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And when we do this, our Lord promises that all these things, all these physical provisions, will be added unto us. In other words, we should be praying first that God's name will be hallowed, God's kingdom will come, and His will be done. But as we turn, as we do now, to ask God for our daily bread, it is not as if we suddenly forget the things we have already prayed for. It's not as if we suddenly become the focus and God falls into the backdrop. No. Even as we bring this request to God, asking Him to give us our daily bread, our focus must remain upon Him and His glory. How does this work? Well, Herman Veldkamp explains in his commentary on the Catechism, we ask for our daily bread so that we may be equipped to do God's will on earth. Veldkamp writes, praying for our daily bread is praying for the continuance of human life in order that God's name may be sanctified, in order that His kingdom may come, and in order that His will be done. God's kingdom especially cannot come if there are no people, and people cannot exist if there is no bread. In other words, Veldkamp is showing us that all the petitions, all the requests in the Lord's Prayer are connected. They fit together. The reason we pray for everything we pray for, even praying for our daily bread, is ultimately for the glory of God. Now, why is this so important for us to consider? Well, it is because, unfortunately, in our minds, we often make an artificial distinction between what we think is sacred and what we think is secular. We fall into the trap of thinking that it is somehow unspiritual or less spiritual to pray to God concerning our earthly needs. However, this is not true. Hopefully, we know that our earthly fathers care not only about our spiritual needs, but also about our physical needs. God is our heavenly Father. He's not only concerned about your spiritual health, certainly He also cares about the physical needs that you have. God cares about us, body and soul. Now, I've already mentioned that this fourth request is tied to the other requests we've already seen, but let me illustrate this a little bit more. We pray for God's kingdom to come. We've seen that already. Well, an earthly king has to be concerned about keeping supply lines open for his troops, making sure that his troops receive provisions, food, so that they will be strong for the fight. God is our heavenly king. Certainly, He will ensure that His Christian soldiers have what they need to fight the battle. And this includes our daily bread, our physical needs. When we pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, does this have anything to do with our daily bread? Well, how can we do God's will on earth if we're anxious about our physical needs? We need to be strengthened to do His will. We need to be strengthened physically in order to engage in our spiritual labor. And so this is another reason why God wants us to ask Him to ensure that our physical needs are met so that we can do and engage in our spiritual warfare and our spiritual work in doing the will of God. Consider our text this evening. In the first two verses we read, "In those days when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, He called His disciples to Him and said to them, 'I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with Me now 3 days and have nothing to eat.'" This crowd has been with Jesus for 3 days. Certainly they have benefited from His teaching. Perhaps He has worked miracles among them. He has been feeding them spiritually. But isn't it striking how Jesus does not ignore their physical need? In verse 3, He says, "If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away." People need food. This is a basic human need. We need food to keep functioning. We need food to live. Boys and girls, have you ever said to your parents, "I'm starving"? Some of you probably have done this, even though you probably were not actually starving. However, if you've ever had to skip even one meal, you know how you can feel it. Feel those hunger pangs. You know that you're hungry. Food is a very basic, even the most basic, human need. And in the Lord's Prayer, we're taught that we must ask God to provide us with this most basic human need. The Lord expects us to understand that we need to look to Him alone to provide by His sovereign hand even our most very basic need, even our daily bread. Now, going back to our text again, understand that in one sense, this crowd is very well fed. Jesus has been teaching them for 3 days. He's been feeding them with His word, the bread of life. And yet, clearly, they still need physical food. And congregation, this teaches us that we must not neglect or ignore our physical needs as if they are unimportant. Even the beloved first answer of our catechism affirms that we are physical beings, body and soul. Your body belongs to Jesus Christ just as surely as your soul does. So don't neglect your body. In fact, if you do, you may be neglecting your soul as well. For example, if you're hungry when you come here to church, you might end up thinking about your next meal instead of thinking about what God is saying to you through the sermon. So in order for your soul to receive the most benefit from the sermon, you need your daily bread as well. And this is also true of another basic human need, sleep. If your body is not well rested before church on Sunday, you may fall asleep during the service, and your soul will profit nothing if you sleep through the worship service. I hope that example might help us to see a little more clearly what Jesus wants us to be praying for. This request does not only apply to food. We should also pray to God for the basic need of sleep, which is difficult to come by sometimes. We should also be praying that God will supply all of the other physical needs in life. And this is what our catechism teaches. Give us this day our daily bread means do take care of all our physical needs. And so God wants us to pray to Him. Christ teaches us to pray to God that He will give us the work that we need to provide food and shelter for our family. To pray that He'll give us the sleep that we need to stay awake and focus through family worship and Sunday worship. We pray that God will provide and supply us with all of our physical needs. Now, as we go on, I want us to think a little more detail about this petition itself, these few words that Jesus teaches us to pray in the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Let's break this down a little bit, thinking about a word or two at a time. First, notice that in this petition, give us this day our daily bread, it's not just that I pray for my physical needs, my daily bread. Rather, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Once again, we see that this is not a selfish prayer. It's not a prayer for me, myself, and I. It is a prayer for us, a prayer for the body of Christ. And this is one reason that the congregational prayers are so important. In that prayer, we pray together for many of the physical needs of others. So let me challenge you with this. Are you engaged in the congregational prayer when we pray for the needs of others? Do you pray along with the pastor? Or when the people of God are praying, are you in your own little world thinking about something else? Christ commands us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, to pray for the physical needs of others as well. We should remember that we're not alone in this world. And that leads us to another aspect of the prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Notice we pray for the physical needs of today, this day, daily bread. We do not pray that God will give us this day, that God will give us right now all of the things that I will need for the rest of my life, all of the things that we will need until we arrive in heaven. No, as Veldkamp points out, we're not praying for provisions to be laid up for many years with which I can benefit myself and to which others who are less privileged can only look. In fact, Veldkamp goes on to write, this fourth petition is surely not a prayer for hoarders, for people who keep everything to themselves. When God blesses us with extra, that's when we give it to Him. when we help to supply the needs of our brothers and sisters who are in need, we shouldn't be keeping all of God's blessings to ourselves, but sharing them with one another, even desiring to be the answer to that prayer for someone else. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, of course, this does not mean that we don't plan for the future. Doesn't mean that we don't save for retirement or a rainy day. Of course, we must be wise, but it does mean that we ought to not be closed-handed, that we ought to share of the abundance that God blesses us with. And we need to recognize as well that whether or not we realize it, we can only live each day. We can only live this day by God's grace and providence. In other words, our final trust cannot be in our income, our pension, our bank account, our filled barns. God alone is worthy of our trust. All of those other things can fail us, but God will not. In fact, we should recognize that whenever we sit down to eat, every time you sit at the dinner table, have food in front of you, whether it's a grand steak or a simple piece of bread, in the end, that is ultimately God who has provided that food for you. It is God's goodness, His grace, that we can enjoy even this day, this meal. However, if this bread is a gift of God, then why do we pray for it as if it is our own? This request says, give us this day our daily bread as if it belongs to us. Why do we pray that way? For our daily bread. Why that possessive there? Isn't our daily bread a gift of grace? Well, certainly it is a gift. But it does belong to us. We can't expect this from God. How? Once again, this has to do with the interconnectedness of the Lord's Prayer as a whole. Think back to the beginning of our study. How do we address God at the beginning of the prayer? How did we begin our prayer to Him? By calling Him our Father. The Lord's Prayer begins on the foundation that God, through Christ, has become our Father. Yes, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but God sent His only begotten Son into the world to live a perfect life, to bear the punishment our sins deserve. He suffered and died on a Roman cross so our sins may be paid in full. And as we read in the form for the Lord's Supper this morning, Jesus was once forsaken by God so that we might forever be accepted by Him as His children. He is our Father. What does this have to do with our daily bread? Well, this is the reason we can call it our daily bread. This is the reason we can pray for it as if it belongs to us, because it does. This bread belongs to us as God's children. Fathers and mothers, our children rightly look to us to provide their daily bread. It is our responsibility to take care of them and feed them because they are our children. Well, thanks be to God in Christ, we are children of God. And our Father in heaven has taken upon Himself the responsibility to feed us with our daily bread. We can expect this bread from Him. And this is the foundation of Jesus' words in our scripture reading from Matthew 6. Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Believers, because of Christ, God is our Father in heaven, and we can expect Him to provide for our needs when we ask Him. He will surely provide us with our daily bread. Now finally, why do we ask for our daily bread? In other words, why not ask for a nice filet mignon or some lobster? Why bread? Well, there's a reason for this as well. We ask only for bread because we should be content with simple bread if that is what God is pleased to give us. In this prayer, Christ instructs us to ask our Heavenly Father for the most essential necessity in life, for the most basic sustenance, a staple, not a luxury. A wise man wrote in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." In other words, the Lord is teaching us not to ask God to make us rich or poor. We should ask Him to help us to remember that everything we have comes from Him as His gift. We should not desire to be too wealthy, so wealthy that we think that we can do this on our own, or so poor that we're tempted to steal and profane the name of the Lord. We ask God for our necessity, what we need. So we should only ask God for what we really need. But what does God actually give us? What did Christ give the crowd? He blessed and multiplied the bread and the fish so that, as we read in verse 8, they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. As you know from our study in Revelation, 7 is a number of perfection or completion, fullness. This is an assurance that God will provide all we need and often more. So we ask God for what we need, but God almost always gives us much more than we need. He gives freely of His bounty. He gives us an abundance. Our God is not stingy. He's very generous. So don't be afraid of asking Him for your needs. He takes pleasure in answering His children's requests. But the Catechism goes on. "Give us this day our daily bread" means do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Now, congregation, we all know that God wants us to work for a living. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, the Bible actually condemns laziness quite harshly. "If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat." What does the Catechism mean when it says neither our work and worry can do us any good? Is the Catechism saying we should not work? Well, no, of course not. We must work to earn a wage so that we can buy our food. This is the means by which God ordinarily provides us with our daily bread. Of course, we all know this. But we need to understand that even our work, even our hard labor, is no guarantee that we will be able to eat. In the end, it is only God's blessing that we can receive our daily bread and be satisfied. It's only His sovereign hand that can absolutely ensure this. In verse 7, we see that Jesus' blessing comes before the crowd's eating. Without Jesus' blessing, the crowd could never have been satisfied. So the point is that our work does us no good without God's blessing. We can do whatever we want to try to provide for ourselves, to try to take care of this on our own. But God is the only one who can truly provide for all of our needs, who can make our work profitable. Now, the Catechism does not only mention work, it also mentions worry. This is the motive behind many people's work. They're so worried about making ends meet that they work and work and work. They work crazy hours. They don't get the sleep they need because they're so obsessed with their work and so anxious about what will happen if they don't do enough, if they don't earn enough money. That is not the way for a Christian to live. By constantly worrying, by constantly being afraid. Psalm 127 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. If you are a workaholic, there's no way to live. God wants us to trust him to clothe us, to feed us, to supply our needs. He does not want us to be constantly anxious about these things, constantly worrying. If you're obsessed with our earthly labor, we're getting things backwards. Remember what Jesus said in our scripture reading, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If God's priorities are our priorities, then our Heavenly Father will ensure that all of our needs are taken care of if we ask him to provide them. And this is where the catechism leaves us. See that last sentence. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures, give up our trust in ourselves, and to put trust in you alone. Consider what the crowd in our text had. Did they have anything they could trust in? In verse 4, the disciples ask, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? In the next verse, Jesus asked them, how many loaves do you have? They said 7. And then later we're told that they had a few small fish. There's no way that they will be able to provide for the needs of this crowd with 7 loaves and a few fish. It's not going to happen. But God is able to make much out of a little. God is able to make much even out of nothing. He's the creator who called everything into existence by his sovereign word. And Jesus shows himself to be that creator when he multiplies the bread and the fish in this miracle. Our sovereign God is able to provide everything we need. And he is willing as well. He alone is worthy of our trust. The book of Acts teaches us that it is he who gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And the letter of James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. This is the truth that God sets before us today, that he alone is the source of everything good. He alone is worthy of our trust. He's proven this time and again. Excuse me. He provides for our physical needs, but even more, he provides for all of our spiritual needs in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ suffered so that we can receive our bread. Christ was parched by thirst so that we could be baptized and drink of himself, him who is the fount of living water. And so, brothers and sisters, in closing, if God has given us Christ, will he not much more provide for all of our physical needs? Will he not much more provide all we need to hallow his name, to build his kingdom, and to do his will here on earth? Certainly he will. So let us look to him and trust in him. Let us continually pray to him for our daily bread and expect him to give it. For as the scripture says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. That is how God provides for his children. Amen. Let us pray.